You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. My guest today has been claiming titles in junior, national, and world events for years. In 2017, she claimed the national champion title and also earned the world champion title while shooting with Team USA in Moscow. She has a list of accomplishments on her resume that are truly amazing. Please welcome to the show, Donya Vizzi. Welcome to Shotgun Sports, Donya. You are actually the first world champion skeet shooter to ever be on this podcast. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you could join me tonight. And for everyone listening, and for anyone that follows social media and clay shooting, they should have ran across your name by now. You have one of the largest followings in social media that I have ever seen in this sport as a whole. But just in case they haven't seen your name, or know who you are, introduce yourself and maybe name a couple of accomplishments that you're most proud of.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Donya Vizzi. I'm 26. I'm on Team USA for skeet shooting. So I'm a world champion, world championships medalist, Pan American Games medalist, World Cup medalist, national champion. I hold the national record for skeet, and I'm pretty much one of the first like girl trick shotters on social media. So that's my real claim to fame.
So, all right. How did you get into the trick shooting since you mentioned that?
Okay. So I never really dabbled in it until recently. So I was always, when I was a little bit younger, I first started shooting. I was always so strict. So I thought, like, if I go to the range and I'm training, I can only train for skeet. Mm-hmm. Like, it never really crossed my mind that you can make it really fun too. I'm not saying I didn't have fun training, but it was always just very serious for me.
Right.
I'm like, I'm using the whole amount of time allotted to just shoot skeet. And then my coach was always trying to tell me, like, you know, you need to have fun every once in a while. You need to do this. So one day he came to coach me and he shot for the Army. Mm-hmm. And he, like, the Army actually does trick shooting demos. So he was like part of that team.
Right.
And so he brought his old like Army Remington pump shotgun to the range. And he's like, we're just going to have fun for like 20 minutes. And I was so obsessed with trick shooting, and I was so bad. Like, I did not know what I was doing. I was missing targets left and right. Like, I didn't know how to shoot from the hip or do anything.
Yeah. Well,
but I was just so intrigued with the whole thing that I just had to learn. So that weekend, I spent more time trick shooting than I did actually shooting skeet, but I think it helped my game.
Really? How's that?
Well, because trick shooting is all about like pointing, you know, pointing your finger. Because when you're trick shooting, like I'm shooting behind the back over my head, but I'm just kind of learning how to like point at the target and kind of use my like fingers and my hands to, mm-hmm. you know, point where you want to shoot. And I think it just made me an all around better skeet shooter. So like now if the targets are like not in line, I'm just really good at tracking targets.
Yeah. Maybe that is why you're good. Maybe you should.
I think it did help. And it's so fun. Like it kind of gets your mind off of the training for a little while.
All right. So the real question is this, is how many times do you have to take those shots before you can put one on social media?
Well, it depends what the trick is. So
what is it? The number eight station on the skeet field?
Yeah. So like number eight station now, I could go probably film it one or two takes. We're good. Cause like I have that down pat. Like I can do that over the head. I can do it behind the back. I can do it upside down gun.
Doing
I can
a split.
Do it right handed, left handed in a split. Like, yeah, I can. Station eight, I have got it down.
Yeah, I saw you had one of them that had a lot of views. What was it over 1 million views on Facebook or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think they're called Sport Bible, so they post like a lot of sport related content. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that one right now is over 4 million views, which is crazy to me. Like,
yeah,
you know, I always did it as something fun, and then I would just video it so I could show my family, and then. Yeah. I started posting it and everybody just fell in love with it.
So which one was that? What were you doing in that video?
So actually they put a few of the videos together. So they a couple of my trick shots together and use that.
Well, now that you've gotten into skeet shooting, you've gotten into trick shooting, how about before you got into doing that? You have a pretty interesting story. What you used to do.
Yeah, I started dancing. You know, my mom put me in dance when I was 2 or 3 years old. Like, you know, most girls, their moms putting them in dance class so they can get a couple hours to themselves.
Yeah.
But I just really fell in love with it. I was pretty good at it at a young age. I was asked when I was 6 to join the competition team. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that. I loved it so much. It was something me and my mom did together. She drove me to all of my competitions, did my hair, did my makeup. And I really thought that that's what I wanted to do for my career. I went to the Juilliard School for a summer. I was like, Mom, I'm moving to New York. I'm going to Juilliard for college. And I'm going to become a professional ballerina. But I started shooting and then all of that changed. I'm like, I am not dancing anymore. I'm going to become a professional shotgun shooter. Changed my whole career.
Now, how did that happen? How did you go from doing something since you were 2 or 3 years old and get into shooting?
Yeah, so I started shooting when I was 17. So kind of right before that switch, like end of high school, I started shooting. My dad just one day was like, Danya, come to the range with me. I think he was going on a hunting trip with his brother. So he was going to practice. So he was just going to go shoot some sporting clays or trap or something. I don't even know at that time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, Dad, yeah, I'll go. And I just kind of fell in love with it. Like for me, it was so empowering to like, you know, control this gun and hit all these targets. It was just so fun and so different that I just kind of started going with him more and more. And then he bought me my first shotgun. And it was just kind of something him and I did together. So, like, I had something that I did with my mom, and I had something that I got to do with my dad.
Yeah.
So, for, like, a year, I was doing both. And then I was randomly at the range, and there was, like, a national team coach there. And he was like, did you know this is an Olympic sport? I think you'd be really good at it. Like, I didn't even know that it was a competitive thing, let alone an Olympic sport.
Right.
So, that got me really curious.
Now, do you still dance at all, or did you just give it up completely?
I mean, for fun, maybe here and there, but I mean, I pretty much gave it up completely when I started becoming competitive in shooting.
Wow. That's pretty interesting that you can give up something that you love that much and then get into something else that you really don't have a whole lot of, you know, you don't know a whole lot about, and you're successful in that as well.
Thank you. It was crazy.
Yeah. So what made you want to shoot skeet and not something else, trap or sporting clays?
Well, so when I first started, I started with American trap, and it kind of just got boring for me after a while. So that's when I started shooting skeet. And then I wanted, like, my main goal was to always compete in the Olympics. And so they don't have sporting clays in the Olympics. It's not an Olympic sport.
Right.
So it was kind of for us between trap or skeet. And I kind of like never had that connection with trap shooting. So it was just from the beginning, almost skeet for me.
Did you shoot competitively in high school, or were you already out by the time you started shooting?
No, I was pretty much out by the time I started getting big into shooting.
Yeah. All right. So you shot American skeet and international skeet. So what is, give me some differences there. You know, we're mostly sporting clays, like, a, you know, but give me the differences in American skeet and international skeet.
Yeah. So same setup, like same 8 stations, high house, a low house, but the targets are a lot faster. They're almost going twice as fast off the arm than American skeet. And then, so we have doubles at every station. So in American skeet, you only have it at 4 stations, but in, you know, international skeet, you have it at 7 of the stations. So everything but 8. So you're not shooting any incoming singles. So everything turns into doubles. And then you have to start with your gun down. So we have like a mark on our vest, kind of like if you, where your elbow would be, and your gun has to be below that mark. And then the last one, main difference is like when you call pull, the target doesn't instantly come out. So you have between like an instant to 3-second delay. And then any time between there, the target can release.
How do you deal with that? I could not deal with that.
Yeah, it is. It was probably, that's sneakily the most challenging thing I think about it.
Yes.
Because we can't move our gun until it comes out, or it's penalty.
And there's no way to catch the timing of it. I mean, it's different all the time. So just, you don't know what it's going to be.
Yep, it's all like in the machine. So you have no idea. It's not even something like, you know, oh, I've had a lot of 3-second ones. Now it's, you know, it's not like that. It's all just different. You just don't know.
I got a strange feeling that if I was doing that, that when I called pull, if it was longer than a second, I think I would just try to shoot the first one from the hip. It would just bother me that much.
No, I know. It bothered me in the beginning too. And then when you're competing, the 3 seconds literally feels like an eternity.
Yes. So. Yeah. So do you think you dancing in competitions had anything to do with maybe your competition mode in shooting? Did that help at all? Relax you some?
100%. Because, you know, in any sport, I feel like in shooting especially, because it's such a mental game, mm-hmm. that, you know, there are so many athletes who are so good at practice, but just cannot get it together when they're competing. Like, they just can't emulate practice in competition. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes so many years of experience to be able to handle the pressure.
Right.
Especially in shooting, because it's so mental.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in any of the shooting sports.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of practice, do you practice any differently now than you did when you first started shooting?
A little bit, but I would say, like, I've kind of stuck with the same, you know, drills that I've always done, because it's always just kind of worked for me.
I was watching a video, I guess, that you did at SHOT Show 1 year, and someone was interviewing you and asking you about your practice, and you told them that you practiced in the morning and also in the evenings.
Yeah, especially like before a tournament, because, you know, even being a sporting clay shooter, mm-hmm. You know how different the light changes things.
Right.
And so, especially in skeet, because you have that semicircle, so you're getting the sun in so many different places. So like, say in the morning, high one, like the sun is right in your face. So you have to be able to deal with that. And then same with like sunset, you have to be able to deal with the shadows of the houses. Mm-hmm. So your focal points kind of move depending on where the sun is. So I try to I try to practice in the morning and in the evening so I can, you know, learn all of this before I compete.
How often do you practice? Like every day, a few times a week, or what's your practice?
Yeah,
schedule?
I mean, when it's competition season, I mean, it's a little bit different now with COVID and everything. Right. But in competition season, yeah, I'm practicing 6-7 days a week.
Do you have your own field or do you go to a gun club?
So I used to shoot at Silver Dollar, which was my home club for a long time.
Right.
And then I'd say 2 years ago, my parents bought some land and I built my own field, and that's where I shoot now.
Must be nice to do that. Go out there by yourself and your dog.
Yes. My dog goes with me every day.
And he just lays around while you shoot?
Yes. So it's so funny. So I found her, I found her outside of a gun range in Texas at a tournament. Uh-huh. And I just like took her home with me.
You just thought she looked good. You just took her home with you. You didn't ask.
Yeah. No, well, my mom was there too, because at this time I was still staying at their house. So, you know, I couldn't just bring him a random dog. So my mom was like, well, if you call your dad and he says yes, then you can bring her home, thinking he's going to say no. Mm-hmm. But of course, he's like, oh, yeah, bring her home. So she's been with me ever since.
What kind of dog is she?
So she's apparently half lab, half blue heeler.
There you go. You got you a buddy to go shooting with you.
Yeah, she's the best. I mean, she does not care about gunshots. She kind of just like runs around while I'm shooting. She's great.
You brought up a coach earlier in the conversation. Who is your coach?
Yeah, my coach is Todd Graves. So he's a 4-time Olympian, Olympic medalist, shot for the Army for 26 years. So it's crazy. So he's the only person to ever medal at a World Cup in all 3 Olympic disciplines. Mm-hmm. So like he's the only person to ever really shoot both disciplines.
Really?
Well, cause like, you know, I would never go to a World Cup in trap. Like I would never make a team because I don't practice trap.
Yeah.
Same. There's nobody who like cross disciplines like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so back then we had 3. So we had trap, double trap, and ski. And so he's actually medaled in all 3 events, which is crazy.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's hard for us to make a team in 1, let alone make a team in 3.
Yeah.
So,
well, he did it. So he's the only one to do that?
Only one. Yep. It's pretty crazy.
Wow. Well, you're a world champion. I mean, that's what you win. Yes. That? What year did you win the world championship?
2017.
And that was, where was that at?
It was in Moscow, Russia.
Oh, wow. Yeah, kind of talk about that for a second. How was that trip? Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. So that was actually my first, I had medaled at 3 world championships before that as a junior. So I had like 1 junior world championship. So this was my first time ever competing as like in the open category.
Mm-hmm.
So like with all of the women. And so I was like kind of nervous. Like I really wasn't expecting anything. Like I had been training really well, but I kind of knew, I'm like, well, this is my first time. So I can't really like, you know, I'm shooting with all these Olympic medalists, world champions. I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to do well, but I had no idea I was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's crazy. So that was the only match like my dad has ever gone with me overseas. So he got to see me win.
Wow.
Which was just crazy. It just happened to be the right tournament.
Yeah. So,
But just, yeah, that was like the best day of my life.
Oh, I'm sure. Winning a world championship for anybody that's in clay target sports would probably be the best day of their life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just so amazing.
So you've talked about the other wins that you have. Explain what those are, World Cups and.
Yeah, so we have about 5 or 6 World Cups a year, and then we have 1 World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pan American Games is every 4 years, but it's the year before the Olympics.
Okay.
So I medaled in Pan Am Games in 2019.
Now, have you ever qualified for the Olympics?
No.
I'm sure that's next on your list?
That's the end goal.
When talking about skeet and someone at your level, they have a selection process. Could you explain what goes on at the selection?
Yeah. So for the U.S., you know, we have the best shooters in the world. So mm-hmm. for us to make a selection, like to make a team, is almost as hard as going to win a World Cup, you know,
yeah.
because the level of our shooters is just amazing. They're all great. Like our top six or seven women, you could send any of us to a World Cup and like we would medal, because we're all just so good. We're all great.
Yeah.
But so what we do is we have two selection matches a year. So we have one in the fall, one in the spring. So it's 250 targets plus a final. So the top six athletes shoot a final. And then from the fall match, you know, you go to like the first two or three World Cups. And then the spring match, whoever wins that, you'll go to the next two or three World Cups. But the World Championship selection is both of them combined. So you have to do well in fall and spring to make our World Championship team.
So at these selection matches, there's just people everywhere trying to get on one of these teams?
Yeah, because anybody can come shoot our selection matches.
Okay.
So you don't have to be like part of Team USA or be invited or anything. Like anybody can come shoot our selection matches, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I know some of these other sports, you have to be like invited or have prior accolades or something to, you know, go to these events. But for us, it's anybody. So it's kind of cool.
So the person that misses the least is the winner out of this 250, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then if you have, so when that's over with and you have, I'm just pulling numbers here, you have 50 people. What's the next thing? You got a shoot off, so to speak? Is that what you call it?
Well, for us, so the top six, like, go into a final. But it's not, for us, it's not like, you know, American trap or American skeet where everybody pretty much shot 250 out of 250.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we miss in our game, you know, that, like, we don't really shoot perfect 250s very often. So,
yeah.
It's, you don't really get that same type of like shooting off as you do in like the American games.
I got you.
Cause you, like, you know, like, at the Grand at American Trap, you're having 200 people mm-hmm. shoot off for shooting 200 straight. Like we don't have that. Our top six people shoot a final. So like, depending on how you place in these finals, you get like extra points. So kind of like extra targets. And then after that, the top three make the team.
Do you ever go shoot sporting clays or trap that you don't like? Do you ever do any of those two?
I shoot sporting clays a lot for like charity shoots.
Mm-hmm.
But I love sporting clays. Like, I could see myself as a sporting clay shooter.
Well, why don't you go?
I do. I love it. But I don't think I'm good enough to compete yet.
Well, you know,
or go to the tournament.
You heard what Winchester did, right?
They have a women's tournament now. Yep. I need to go. That'll probably be my first competition right there.
There you go.
Just to support. I'm not going to do well, but that's fine.
Well, you ought to go. That'd be neat. You know,
yeah, I would love to. I think it's so great that they're doing that.
So when you win the Olympics, are you going to say, all right, I'm done with this. Let me go do sporting clays now?
Yeah, like I'll retire and then I can shoot sporting clays for fun.
Let's talk about other things that you do. You don't just shoot. Okay. You're involved with several different groups. Turning Point, Tampa Bay Young Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tell me what that is exactly.
Yeah. You know, I really did not start getting into politics until, fairly recently, within the last year, just because you just see so much happening now. It's just so relevant to everybody's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lockdowns.
Yeah.
And like for us, gun rights.
Right.
I mean, even out of shotgun shooting, I love shooting like my AR, I love shooting pistols.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to have somebody come to my house and say, give me all your ARs. Like, it's not happening.
Right.
You know, right. So I don't know. I think I've just become kind of passionate about it in the last year.
Yeah.
So I ran to be on the board of the Young Republicans here in Tampa, and I got to do that. And so I'm involved in that. And then I'm involved in Turning Point, which is like a student organization. So they pretty much go to different college campuses and they talk about, you know, they don't make it about being a Democrat or being a Republican. They just kind of talk about the benefits of like freedom, free market, limited government.
Yeah.
You know, and try to just like get those principles.
Yep.
Kind of put into like college students' minds so then they can make their own decisions at the, you know, polling.
Yeah, you said you got interested in it, you know, in the past year. It was a perfect time to get interested in it. I mean, with so much stuff going on, it's just...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yes. So what does Tampa Bay Young Republicans do?
So we're just kind of a group. We meet once a month, so it's kind of just where, like, Republicans can kind of, like, meet each other, especially in, like, these big cities.
Yeah.
You don't really... You know, you don't have a place to go where you know that your values are respected or cared about. So kind of we have different speakers come in and talk about, you know, like last month we had a doctor come in and talk about COVID. This month we're having like some congresswomen and men come in and talk to us. And then we just try to do things around the city, you know, to just keep our freedoms and everything in Tampa. So like they were trying to shut down some of our bars for, you know, COVID restrictions.
Right.
So we would go to these meetings and talk and, you know, just try to lobby for, you know, our bars not to be shut down, just kind of local things.
Businesses got to keep going. You know, they can't just stay shut down forever.
Well, the thing is like DeSantis has done such a good job in Florida. Uh-huh. Like, we have been open pretty much the whole time, and our numbers are so low.
Yeah.
It's crazy, because you see that it works.
Yeah. Georgia's the same way. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that I have seen anything really shut down for... I don't think I've seen anything shut down at all, honestly.
Yeah, I think for, like, 2 weeks, we couldn't go into a restaurant.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, life has to move on.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, COVID was more of a political thing. I'm not saying it's not real. It's not a real disease. But, you know, the chances of most people dying of it is so small. It's like, you know, risking going to get the flu. So, I mean, you can't
I don't want either one of them.
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Nobody wants to get sick, but you have to continue life.
Let's talk about social media, because those, you know, I know Turning Point's huge on social mm-hmm. media.
Yes.
And
yes.
And your account's big and you've got a lot of followers. Kind of talk about how you got that, how you got to where you are in with social media.
Yeah. I mean, when I first got it in Instagram, I think I was in college, you know, I didn't really care about even posting about shooting or stuff. Like, it was just kind of something where I could talk to, you know, girls I went to high school with, or like keep in touch with college friends. Like, I never really thought of it as like a business, I guess. Not even a business, but like somewhere I can share what I do mm-hmm. to, you know, thousands of people all over the world. Like, I never knew that it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started like caring. I'm like, you know what? I need more followers. Like, maybe it'll help with sponsorships. But when I stopped caring about, you know, the number and just started making content that people wanted to see, is when I started seeing my page grow.
And quality content.
Like, exactly. Like, so many people are just worried about the number
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't move unless you make things that your followers want to see, or like your niche or whatever.
Do you think that, how many followers do you have on Instagram, Danya?
Like maybe 87,000, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that has helped with your sponsors? And do you think that it would help other people with sponsorships as well?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps because of the world that we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, 20 years ago, sponsorships was based solely on performance.
Right.
But now it's based more on character, because like you kind of see one's character through social media and stuff. And you have to be good at what you do. I mean, right. You can't just have a billion followers and not be good, because that doesn't work either. Like nobody wants to represent somebody who's not winning, even though they're having a million followers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does help, because you grow so much as a brand on social media, because so many more people get to see your company or your brand. So yeah, I definitely think it helps with sponsorships for sure.
Since you brought up sponsors, who are you sponsored by?
Winchester for ammunition. Mm-hmm. And then Perazzi for my shotgun. Laporte for my targets and traps. I'm trying to think who else. Silver Dollar, my old gun club, still sponsors me. Brownells is a big sponsor of mine too.
Yeah, you posted some
it's
stuff.
It's so crazy because it's like all of these people I'm so close with. So it's so like they just become such good friends. Like it's weird for me to think of them as even like sponsors, you know, because they're all such great companies with great people. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm trying to like go down the list of friends, you know.
Brownells, you had a good some neat content from Brownells when you built an AR.
Yes. Yeah, I got to, that was so cool. I've never built I've never built a gun. I've always just bought them off the rack, you know, so to like go through the whole experience. I mean, I built that thing from nothing. It took hours. It was amazing.
Well, now, what did you end up building? What was it?
So I built an AR-10 in 6.5 Creedmoor.
Mm. And what are you going to do with that? You going to hunt with it?
Yeah, I want to hunt with it. I really love shooting just like long distance. Mm-hmm. For me, like shooting steel at like 500 or farther, and you hear the shot and then you hear nothing. And yeah. Then like 3 seconds later, you hear the ding. It's so fun for me. So yeah. I really just wanted to build like a long distance accurate gun. And so that's what we picked.
So you like to hunt. What do you hunt?
I mean, mostly I like bird hunting, obviously, because I'm a shotgun shooter. I like turkey hunting. I like duck hunting, pheasant. But
I don't know if you can shoot any of those with that AR-10.
No, I would like to shoot a deer with it this year.
Okay, all right.
That's probably what I'm gonna do.
Let's talk about SHOT Show for a minute. You're a big fan of SHOT Show, and normally, if someone goes there, they can find you there.
Yeah, so I normally go to SHOT Show with Perazzi. We have so much fun.
Yeah,
such a good time.
You know, I went to SHOT Show a few years ago with Beretta, and it is unbelievable. That place is unreal.
It is. Like, I've been, oh my God, how many times have I been? Like 5 or 6 times? I've never seen the whole thing.
No. They gave me some weird stat that, like, you could walk, if you wanted to see it all, you would have to start in the morning, and you would have to end when it closed, and you could only spend, like, 5 seconds at each booth.
Yeah. No, it is really wild. So, the first time I went, I've heard so many stories. I'm like, yeah, it can't be that big. And that was the first time I'd ever been to Vegas either. So I didn't get like how grand everything is in Vegas. Yep,
same with me.
But I went there and I was just shell shocked. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I have ever been to.
Yes. It's crazy that just the amount of things that, and SHOT Show isn't to go buy things. It's all the new stuff coming out.
Yeah, you're just looking. Like, you can't even legally buy anything at SHOT Show. But it's so fun. And just, like, to meet all of the people. And then it's kind of a place where I, like, see friends of mine that I only get to see once or twice a year. Yeah. So it's cool to go there and connect with the people that you don't see very often.
Yeah. And it was bad they didn't have it this year. You know, I was kind of...
No, I know. I'm so upset.
You wanted to go, didn't you?
Yeah, like, I live my year for SHOT.
Really?
I love SHOT Show. So, I go with Perazzi. So, like, they're based out of Italy. Right. So, it's kind of one of the only times I get to see Moro Pratsy and like talk to him. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun. Like, I love dressing up. Like, I love getting down and dirty. I love hunting, but I love being like a bougie city girl too. Like, I like both. Okay. So for Pratsy, I always get to wear like these nice dresses and heels and like look pretty with the guns. Like, it's so fun for me.
So people coming up to the booth would not think that you knew how to shoot a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Unless they know who I am, they think I'm just some like random girl that they hired to like take photos with the guns.
Yeah, I bet that's funny to see some people walking up and say, hey, can I get somebody that knows what they're talking about?
I know. So they'll be like, oh, yeah, can I ask somebody a question? I'm like, oh, you can ask me. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, this is my job. Like, I shoot guns.
You dressing up like that, you wouldn't think that would be the case.
I know. So it's kind of the one. And I get to go to Vegas. It's just so fun. I love SHOT. And I love food. I'm such a foodie. And I get to eat. I eat so well when I go to SHOT Show. So.
Where's your favorite place to eat in Vegas?
Oh, well.
Do you remember?
I love Nobu. And I know that's very basic, but I love sushi.
We went and ate sushi somewhere and I can't remember where it was.
Probably. Well, the thing is you pretty much, you can't find like a bad restaurant there, because to survive in Vegas, you have to be really good. So I just feel like anywhere you eat there is going to be delicious.
Yeah, that's probably true. Your Pirazzi, how is it set up? How's that? What do you shoot barrel length choke wise?
Yeah, so I actually shot 28-inch barrels until recently. I just switched to 30s. Because we added some new targets in our finals. So it's like reverse pairs of a pair that we used to shoot. And so my coach thought, oh, I think if you get longer barrels, because it's kind of like a far away shot. So it's more of like a sporting clays thing, because you shoot longer barrels.
Right,
32s. Y'all shoot like 32s. Yeah. So he's like, I have 30s that are really light from his old Pirazzi, and I tried them, fell in love with them. So I'm actually shooting 30s now. And then I compete with IC Light Mod.
For the people listening, explain why skeet shooters like such short barrels on their guns.
Well, yeah. So for us, the targets, well, for y'all, like, you have some targets that you have to wait forever, you know, like, so you kind of need that, like, slow, like longer barrels, heavier, but our game is so fast. Like, especially we have to mount it. So you have to start from a really low mount. So you kind of want it a little lighter, a little shorter. And it's just, everything's happening so fast.
Yeah.
That's why we've always shot short barrels.
Is the mount something you practice a lot, or is it something that you pretty much have down?
Okay. Now I do, but in the beginning, that's all I did was like mount at my house.
Yeah.
Like, I had tape. I destroyed our walls. Like, I had tape on the walls and like a light at the end of my barrels. And I would practice mounting over and over and over until I got it down.
All right. So what does that mean? Tape on the walls and light on the end of your barrel. What were you doing?
Yeah. So I had like tape on the wall and then a light at the end of my barrel. So like for us, it's really bad to have like a lot of muzzle movement as you're mounting, because you want like your muzzle to stay at the same plane through the whole mount.
Right.
So I would practice it really slow, but the light would show me if my like barrel was dipping or anything.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I would do it like really slow, maybe 10 times, and then kind of medium speed 10 times, then fast 10 times until I didn't have any muzzle jump or anything.
Well, that could be good for someone shooting V-Task as well. Is,
oh, 100%.
You know, it's not quite as low as what you're shooting, but it would still keep your muzzle from jumping, moving up or down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, are you coaching?
I don't really coach. I mean, here and there at like my local club or and stuff, but I'm not like traveling places to coach, no.
Yeah. Do you still see your coach as far as for instruction? Yes. For instruction?
100%. Yeah, I mean, I think with anything, you know, you do it so much that you do get like little bad habits that you just can't see. Like, you need somebody else to see it, somebody who knows how you shoot too.
Yeah.
You know, like a random person wouldn't be able to tell me what it is, but he's seen me shoot so many times that, you know, I can even send him a video if I have a problem, and he can almost from the video tell me what I'm doing wrong.
We talk a lot about women and shooting on the podcast and how to get them more involved. What do you think holds some women back from starting to shoot?
You know, I think for most women that I know that haven't shot before, it's just because they're like scared.
That's the same thing everybody says.
Yeah. And you know what? It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I was scared the first time I did it.
Yeah.
But
it's just intimidating. The big guns, the loud noises.
It is. It is. And especially like the thing is too, is so many women, I feel like, get turned off from it because someone will give them like a gun that's too big for them or something with too much recoil, and then they never want to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like places need to be really educated in what they give a woman the first time they shoot.
What would be your recommendation?
I shot a 410 the first time I shot, and then kind of like worked my way up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even saying you have to, you know, go that extreme. Low, but just something with light recoil, something smaller, you know, and just be taught the right way instead of just like throwing them out there. Like teach them how to hold it, because that makes such a difference in recoil if you just know how to hold it properly.
Yeah.
That is
true.
That's what I tell every girl I shoot. I'm like, listen, the tighter you hold it, the less you're going to feel it, because you never think that. You think if you're kind of like keep it away from you, it's going to hurt you less. But in reality, it's doing the opposite.
Yeah. If you were going to give women advice that do not shoot, what advice would that be?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think go out with somebody. It doesn't even have to be like a professional coach or anything. Just somebody who kind of knows what they're doing. Because first of all, if you're not going to hit a target, you're not going to have fun and you're never going to come back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you go out there and you shoot 50 and you don't hit one, like you're not going to want to come back.
I got a strange feeling that if I went out there and shot what you're shooting, I probably wouldn't hit half of them.
No, you would. Because you're a sporting clay shooter. You'd be good. You guys have good instincts.
Yeah, but when I got to mount that thing down there by my belt, I don't think I can get it up fast enough.
No, but that's me. But the opposite in sporting clays. Like those targets where I have to wait, I am so bad.
Now, when you go shoot, like if you go shoot around a sporting clays, do you find yourself mounting low gun?
Oh, I always do. I cannot shoot mounted.
Really?
I can shoot better from the hip than I can mounted. Like, even when I shoot American trap, I struggle with like the whole mounting thing.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Yeah. But when I shoot sporting clays, I shoot at least like FITASC, you know, like low gun. Something about being behind the barrel is just, can't do it.
You know, you probably don't even notice that you're mounted when you're pulling the trigger on your skeet targets.
No, because you're so focused on the target. All of that stuff really, it probably in a shot takes 5% of what I'm thinking about. Like the 95% is just looking at the target and where it's going.
Now, how repetitious is skeet?
Very. Like when I train, I'm shooting the same target, you know, 6, 7, 8 times. And then, you know, I try not to miss it, and then I'll move on to the next one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing is like, maybe I'll have to shoot a pair from each station 5 times. But if I miss, like it has to be 5 times in a row. So if I miss one, then I have to start over. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives you some, because it's hard to emulate competition pressure in practice. Like you can't. So it gives you a little bit of pressure because you don't want to do it again.
Yeah. Well, and there's not a lot of ways to replicate the competition side of it.
Yeah, like you can't really. So that's the only way I do it. Or I'll try to shoot around. I'll shoot around, but I have to shoot it perfect. So say I'm, you know, 3/4 of the way done and I miss a target, then I have to start over.
We've bet money, we've bet lunch, we've done it all, and we just end up laughing and don't.
Exactly. But especially so me, I'm training by myself. So it's like there's not even somebody I can kind of compete with mentally.
So you go out to your land and shoot by yourself?
Yeah, I'm like always shooting by myself.
Wow. And your dog?
And my dog. And my mom. She pulls for me.
So she goes out with you and shoots?
Yep. So she'll pull the targets for me.
Is she upset that you don't dance?
I think in the beginning, like, she was sad, but she loves it. Like, she loves what I do. She loves shooting. I mean, they kind of got their farm because of my shooting. Yeah. And so now they're so in love with it. They're building a house out there. So I think it's changed all of our lives, but for the better.
I'll ask you one more question. I'll let you go. I know you got things to do.
No, you're good. This is fun.
Are you happy that Tom Brady plays for Tampa Bay?
Are you kidding me? Yes. And the thing is Tom Brady is a different man in Florida.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Because he's like, you know how you see like Florida man? It's always the Florida man. Like Tom Brady is Florida man.
You like have to explain
him and Gronk at the boat parade, like throwing the trophy from boat to boat. He would not have done that for the Patriots. Like he's just a new, like he just seems like he's having a much better time here.
Well, he won a Super Bowl. He's having a pretty good time.
Oh my gosh. That was the most wild thing I've ever seen in Tampa. The streets of Tampa after the Super Bowl were just, it was just people. Like you couldn't drive a car. But we had a great like sports season.
Yeah.
Like all of our teams did really well.
Yeah, come on up to Atlanta. We need some help with that.
Yeah, we're living the sports dream here right now.
I appreciate you coming on and spending some time.
No, really. Thank you for having me. That was great. Anytime you want me back, just let me know.
Just give you a ring. You ready to go? Mm-hmm. Well, Danya, thank you for coming on. And I hope to meet you one day. And good luck in your future shooting.
Same. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.